Good morning. Today's reading comes from Philippians 3, 5 through 21. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to the regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as a loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For this sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ Jesus, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, yet somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or I have already reached the goal, but I have press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal of the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us then who are mature be of the same mind. And if you think differently about anything, this too God will reveal to you. Only let us hold fast what we have attained. Brothers and sisters, join in imitating me and observe those who live according to the example you have in us. For many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. I have often told you of them, and now I tell you even with tears. Their end is destruction. Their God is the belly, and their glory is their shame. Their minds are set on earthly things. But our citizenship in heaven, and it is from there that we are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humiliation that it may be conformed to the body of his glory by the power that also enables him to make all things subject to himself. Bless the reading.
Paul Powell, in his book, The Complete Disciple, describes a picture that is painted by a famous artist. It's a picture of a wagon train in the Old West. Nighttime has fallen. The wagons, as we've seen on TV, are circled, so making them safer from any attack. In the center of the circle of the wagons is a campfire and a group of rugged men who are around it. The wagon master, a muscular man with an uncut beard, has a map spread out before him. On the map is a heavy black line that zigzags across the map, showing the course that they have taken to this point. They had veered north part of the way, then south, but their main direction has always been to head west. Evidently, there's been argument about which way to go. And the wagon master has placed one finger on one end of the black line, and then he's pointing to a direction on the map with his other finger. He seems to be saying, we may have to go south around the mountain or north across the river, but our main direction will always be west. And that's how they will reach their destination, by forever moving westward, even if there has to be a temporary direction, other directions at times. And then one of the secrets, and not me, so many books have been written about it, to a successful life is to have your eyes fixed upon a goal and to pursue that goal with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. St. Paul was one of the most influential people who ever lived, and one of the reasons that he was so effective is that he had his eyes fixed firmly on one major goal that simply could not be surpassed. Listen again to this part of the scripture. One thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. What a great, marvelous, grand statement to make that we can see today, 2,000 years later. St. Paul's passion for serving his Lord Jesus Christ. This is why St. Paul has helped so many people over the past 2,000 years. He knew what was truly important in life, and he gave himself completely to accomplishing that goal. Many people live ineffective lives because they do not focus on what is most important. One of the most important lessons for life involves priorities, putting first things first. Without priorities, the athlete fails to meet their goal, to win the prize. Without goals, financial goals go unmet. Businesses go bankrupt. Churches can become stagnant in their ministries. Students fail to make the grade. Dreams remain unfilled. E. Stanley Jones, in his book Convergence, tells us that when people first started voting in the nation of India, many of the voters were illiterate. And they got over this difficulty by placing ballot boxes in a row with the photo or the picture of the party on the box that people would recognize. Well, one man tore his ballot into small pieces and dropped a piece in each of the 10 boxes that were out. He voted for all 10 parties, but what he did not realize is by doing this, he actually voted for no party. Vote was canceled out, did not count. So in order to become effective in our work, in our homes, in our communities, in our churches, we must set priorities. And I think that's one of the things we're trying to do in the missional team is look at what the church needs and set some priorities and set some goals. When we do not set priorities, we find ourselves, I think, like a rat in a maze, just running and bumping in and then coming, maybe finally get to an end, maybe never works its way out. There was a very interesting news story online about a year ago, and I've seen it several times now. You know, on Facebook, they just keep rehashing and sending you the same things. But it was the photo of a humpback whale emerging just below the surface of the water. It was a beautiful image, but what was happening in the background is the whale emerged, got just as much attention, even more than the whale coming up. A man sits in a sailboat and he's glued. What would you think he's glued to? His smartphone. Isn't that our society today? They've even got a word for people walking and texting at the same time. I can't remember it right now, but I read it last night. But he's glued to that cell phone or smartphone. And what makes it so interesting and baffling is that the man is just a few feet away from the whale. You would think you would notice a whale coming up next to your small boat right on the other side, but he's so enamored with the images on his phone or whatever he's doing on it that he misses the opportunity to see a whale emerging right beside him. Probably never to happen again. I think that's a wonderful metaphor of many of our lives. Focusing on things that may matter some, but have little matter. Not very important, while very important matters go unattended. Sometimes we'll go do a little busy work so we don't have to do something that is important, or we just ignore it. When retired football coach Bobby Bowden played baseball in college, he never hit a home run. Never. In fact, his senior year at Howard College, he was the only player on the team not to hit a home run that year. The only one. One day he had a line drive against Auburn, and as he approached third, the coach was waving him on. Come on, hurry, let's go. Let's go. And when he touched home, the team was very ecstatic. You've seen it on television or been to a game when the players empty the dugout and they come running out and patting and shaking and high fives, all excited. And it calms down. Well, all of a sudden, no one noticed that the first baseman was yelling for the man who had the ball to throw the ball to him. He got the ball, he tagged first base, and the umpire yelled, "Out." That's a shame. But what was his mistake? Not touching first base. You have to touch each base. You can touch second, you can touch third, you can touch home. But if you don't have the very first base, which is really the layer, you have failed. If you don't take care of first base, it doesn't matter what else you do. Successful living for people, successful living for businesses, successful living for churches is about taking care of things that matter the most. If you were to make a list of what is important to you, maybe you think about it and go home and you'll make out a little list. Or it could be a long list, 5 things, 25 things, those things that are important to you, that really matter to you and to your family, to your relationship. If you made a list of the important things in your life, where would your spouse fall on the list? Where would your family fall on the list? Where would your friends fall on the list? Where would your children, your work, your responsibilities, all these things, where would you place them? Where would you place your church? Where would you place your faith in the Lord? Would you list daily prayer on that list? Would you list, an important thing for me to do is to read my Bible, to study, to fellowship with other Christians, to reach out in service? How would your daily activities reflect your priorities? Will your priorities make you the kind of person that you desire to be? A student at Amherst College during his freshman year put the letter A above his dorm room door. And he did this every year until graduation. Because of that V, people ridiculed him. They would ask him what it was about, and he wouldn't tell anybody. He kept it private. But he paid no attention to the ridicule. When his 4 years were over and graduation day came, that student was appointed to give the valedictory speech. So the V stood for valedictory. The letter on that door, he held before him, looking at it all 4 years. When he would walk into that room and see that V, what his goal was, what his priority was while he was at college. He wasn't there primarily. He didn't go online and say, which is the best party school? People do that. They really do. He went to college to get an education and to be number one in his class. A worthy goal to set, a worthy goal to accomplish. If you were to put a letter over your door at home, what letter would it be? Would you put a P for power or for prestige? Would you put an M for money? An F for fame? What would you put? What letter would go over your door? Maybe you could put a few letters. You know, life is about focus and determination. We really know that. We know it deep down in our hearts, but we need to be reminded of it from time to time through our own selves and through our family, our friends, and even through our church. There's nothing that we read about Paul, we call him Saint Paul, that indicates that he was specially talented or that he was of great stature, or that he was really good looking, or that he was the most gifted speaker anyone had ever heard. In fact, he had an illness that the Bible refers to as a thorn in the flesh, and we're not sure what that was because it doesn't specifically say. I've always thought it had to do something with his eyes, but I don't know. St. Paul's life was focused entirely on serving Christ and getting other people to find Jesus as their Savior, because he believed that Jesus was the Savior. He believed that Jesus was going to come back. He believed that Jesus had ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God's power and glory. He says, "But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which Christ has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." St. Paul's life was focused entirely on serving Christ. There's no stopping anyone with that kind of focus and commitment. And I keep reminding myself, and I hope I remind you, that our true citizenship is not Allegheny County or Pennsylvania or even the United States of America. Our true citizenship as Christians is in heaven, a place we're just waiting to get to, on our way. St. Paul's life was focused entirely on serving Christ, and that's where each and every one of us need to put the main focus of our lives. On the Australian coat of arms, kind of an unusual one, is a picture of two animals, an emu and a kangaroo. These animals were chosen because they shared characteristics that appealed to the forefathers of that country. Both the emu and the kangaroo can only move forward. They cannot move backwards. And I like that, because none of us can move backwards in our life. We can try to look back, but we can't go back. We can only go forward. The emu's 3-foot toe causes it to fall, literally fall, if it tries to go backwards. The kangaroo's tail is so big and heavy that it cannot move backwards. Maybe we need an emu and a kangaroo on our own personal coat of arms, or maybe for our church. Maybe we ought to draw one up to remind us that we got to move on. We got to move forward. We all need high and lofty goals for our lives, a goal like St. Paul's that keeps heaven and the reality of that before us on a daily basis. Only then can we be all that God has called us to be as individuals, as families, and all that God has called us to be as the Church of Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian. We need our goals, we need our priorities, and we need to move forward in faith, in unity, through our Lord Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. May God bless you. Amen.